very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
In the 1920s, Adolf Hitler said this: "What good fortune for governments that men do not think." Unfortunately, at the present time, that fact is more true than ever before. The proverbial house is burning to the ground around us while the majority of the human race is arguing over what seat they get in front of a TV. This is Dane Wigginton with the latest edition of the Global Alert News Hour for GeoengineeringWatch.org Radio for May 13th, 2017. As always, this is a commercial-free News Hour program brought to you by GeoengineeringWatch.org. This show is broadcast on KQMS throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Global Alert News is also aired on the East Coast on the PRN Radio Network, Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. My thanks to Gary Knoll for all his work for the common good and for helping to re-air this message as well. Recordings of this show can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org on the top stories, recent, and radio sections, also on the KQMS archives. As always, a reminder, at Orchard Nutrition in Redding, if you live in the Shasta County, Redding area, free informational materials if you will promise to put them to work for the greater good. Information on 9/11, the climate engineering insanity happening in the skies above our heads, and the lethal vaccination issue. Another new report on that in a moment. Shocking new report. Peer-reviewed report, by the way. Want to announce also the Jim Fair events this week in Orange County. Started yesterday, May 12th through the 14th at the Orange County Fairgrounds. You can go to the Jim Fair, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E, website and find out more about where those events are. But there's a geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth there, and also at the Jim Fair event in Sacramento at the Scottish Rite Center. That will be continuing, started yesterday, will continue today through tomorrow. Geoengineeringwatch.org informational center there. We appreciate the support from Jim Fair. They've been a staunch ally in this battle. Now, a lot to cover today, as always. The breaking news is coming in from so many different directions as all is accelerating around us. The disintegration of certain paradigm factors that we've all been accustomed to are starting to disintegrate. The level of news coming in from every front is astounding. It's difficult to keep up. We'll try to hit the highest points, the most critical points, and that's what matters. We all have to prioritize. The most critical factors must be dealt with first. That's rational. That's reasonable. Let's start with this. We now have a peer-reviewed vaccination safety study that has produced shocking results. Please listen carefully to this information that I'm about to cover, and then look up the study online, copy it, share it with others. This is not an option. It's an obligation if we care about our children. This study is from the Children's Medical Safety Research Institute. This is a groundbreaking study. Think about this. How long have we been vaccinating our children and ourselves without a single peer-reviewed study comparing vaccinated children with unvaccinated children? How incredibly criminally illogical is that? This is an absolute crime that our society would allow the power structure to omit any such study for such a long period. We now have such a study. Listen carefully to what this study disclosed, and then please look it up online, copy it, share it with others. Here's the comparison between unvaccinated children and vaccinated, with nearly 700 children in this study. Here's what the study showed. Listen carefully. Vaccinated children were more than 300% more likely to be diagnosed with autism spectrum. Vaccinated children were 3,000%, 30 times more likely to be diagnosed with allergic rhinitis, which is hay fever, than non-vaccinated children. Vaccinated children were 22 times more likely, that's 2,200% more likely, to require an allergy medication than unvaccinated children. Vaccinated children had more than 4 times the risk of being diagnosed with a learning disability as compared to unvaccinated children. Vaccinated children were 300% more likely to be diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder as compared to unvaccinated children. Vaccinated children were 340% more likely to have been diagnosed with pneumonia than unvaccinated children. Vaccinated children were 300% more likely to be diagnosed with an ear infection as compared to unvaccinated children. Vaccinated children were more than 700% more likely to have a surgery insert to drain their ear tubes than unvaccinated children. Vaccinated children were 250% more likely to be diagnosed with a chronic illness as compared to unvaccinated children. Those are staggering statistics from a peer-reviewed study. What pediatrician with any conscience could continue to vaccinate children when information like this is now available? What parent that truly cares about their child would not examine this and act accordingly? In spite of the fact that the medical industrial complex continues to try to suppress this kind of information because they are so heavily financially invested in the current paradigm, it's criminal. It's absolutely criminal, the amount of money being made off what is now verifiable harm being done to our children and ourselves from vaccinations. This is not conspiracy theory. This is peer-reviewed study fact now. We have responsibility to examine that fact. And for the many people that all of us know who mindlessly spout out the conspiracy theory program dogma every time their false perception of reality is challenged, for them, this short report, for those that don't know this, the CIA coined the term conspiracy theorist in 1967. Specifically in April 1967, the CIA wrote a dispatch which coined the term conspiracy theories and recommended methods for discrediting such theories, anything that challenges the government's official narrative. The dispatch was marked PSYCH, short for Psychological Operations or Disinformation, and CS for the CIA's Clandestine Services Unit. So from that report, here are some of the narratives that it recommended to be used. This is by media companies and other sources to try to discredit anyone who would dare to challenge the official narrative. Here's some of their recommendations. To claim that it would be impossible for so many people to keep quiet about such a big conspiracy. 2, to have people friendly to the CIA attack the claims and point back to, quote, official reports. 3, claim that eyewitnesses' testimony is unreliable. Just like the CDC scientists, former Centers for Disease Control scientists that have thousands of documents trying to share them with Congress and Congress won't let them regarding vaccination dangers, provable vaccination dangers. Don't we as a population bear responsibility for allowing this sort of insanity to unfold? 4th item in this report, claim that all is, quote, old news and has no significant new evidence has emerged. This is all from the CIA recommendations about how to label people as conspiracy theorists if they challenge the official narrative. Again, that's the report I'm reading from. 5, ignore conspiracy claims unless discussion about them is already too active. 6, claim that it's irresponsible to speculate against the official narrative. 7, accuse conspiracy theorists of being wedded to and infatuated with their theories. 8, accuse conspiracy theorists of being politically motivated. 9, accuse conspiracy theorists of having financial interests in promoting conspiracy theories. In other words, the CIA's Clandestine Services Unit created the arguments for attacking, quote, conspiracy theories as unreliable in the 1960s as part of its psychological warfare operations, and how well the American public has adhered to this doctrine laid out by the CIA, where they don't even question glaringly obvious crimes being committed by the power structure all around us. Continuing with that theme, former president, here's a headline, former president of Merck, the pharmaceutical company, led secret biowarfare program, influencing experiments on Americans. From that report, it's just an example of what the power structure does and what the population has been trained to call conspiracy theory when it's verifiable fact. from that report, Merck & Co. is the world's largest vaccine manufacturing corporation and is one of the largest pharma companies in the world. They created such things like the MMR vaccine, which was covered in the Vax documentary, by the way. Highly recommend anybody who cares about their children, any children, to see that. Vaxxed online. I think it's $3.99. Continuing from the report, the Merck Pharmaceutical Company, again, which created the MMR vaccine, and the HPV vaccine, Gardasil. As a corporation that has affected the lives of almost everyone around us in the Western world, with most people receiving their vaccinations that are known to do damage, we should know their history. What rational human being would not want to investigate such dire subjects as this? To investigate now verifiable data that proves the dangers of the toxins being injected into our bodies from pharmaceutical companies that have done almost no safety studies until recently. Now, I just went over the study earlier in this program. Proven dangers. We have autism increasing by some statistics 40,000% since 1975. 40,000% from 1 in 10,000 to some stats show now 1 in 25 for boys. A 40,000% increase. What's it take? And do we think that those children that are not diagnosed with autism are healthy? No, they're not healthy. Their systems are struggling with the same toxins. Maybe their systems were stronger and they're not diagnosed with autism, but it's certainly harming them, diminishing what they could have been, what they might have been. Who's behind this? If we have any sense of responsibility, we must investigate as parents, as human beings. And I'm not asking anybody, I've never asked anyone to believe anything I report in this program. What I'm asking you to do is show some responsibility and do a legitimate investigation. That's what I'm asking. So while populations continue to be poisoned by the criminal medical industrial complex, what's the power structure in the criminal mainstream media doing to try to distract those populations? What's going on the bigger picture? Manufactured dramas and false flag events like the Syrian chemical weapons latest false flag event that's being still pushed as fact when there's not a single fact been produced to prove that Syria did it. Why would they do it? It's completely counterproductive to their cause. These events are manufactured in order to give the premise for the military-industrial complex to continue to do what they're doing, wreaking havoc around the globe. So all these false flag events are used to demonize nations, which are in fact having their borders invaded with U.S. and NATO militaries, not the other way around. The U.S. is ready to start World War III, claiming our safety and security are at stake from nations that have not invaded or occupied any other country for decades. In the case of Iran, they have not invaded or occupied any other country for more than 200 years. Yet, in recent decades, the U.S. has invaded and or occupied over 50 nations. Who's the aggressor, I would ask? Who's the aggressor? A reminder again, when people think about the Iranians that captured our special forces and rafts on their coastline and let them go less than 24 hours later, would we have allowed the Iranians to be set free if we caught them in a raft off the coast of Manhattan or Catalina Island on the West Coast? Absolutely not. Too much hypocrisy going on in this country. U.S. interests are always given as the excuse for these invasions and occupations. But what are U.S. interests exactly? What does that mean? It means that the criminal central banker cabal that runs our country is trying to convince us that other countries should give us their resources or we will invade, occupy, and or decimate their country. And what about the demonization of Russia for their as of yet completely unproven so-called election interference? First, whoever exposed the emails of Hillary Clinton, the criminal, so what? Do we have a right to know? Yes. Next, as I stated in previous programs, the U.S. has radically, aggressively, and often with deadly measures, interfered with no less than 81 elections since the middle of the last century. This is historical fact. Why is Russia so constantly demonized? Consider this. Countries with the most remaining natural resources are prime targets for the power structure and the central bankers. It has always been so. Though the government of Russia and countless other nations are also criminal in so many ways, does that excuse the U.S.-NATO aggression? that's pushing us toward the precipice of World War III. I'll cover more on the push toward World War III later in this broadcast, but first I want to drive this point home, as I have done in so many previous programs. As the biosphere implodes, industrialized, militarized, so-called civilization will follow. There's no other possibility. The human race has constructed a loot, plunder, and pillage paradigm of society that's always been doomed to failure. The vast majority have chosen not to understand or accept that we live on a finite planet with finite resources, and we're all about to get a final reminder of this fact soon, the hard way. From the time I was very young, I was shocked and dismayed at the concept of a dump. And I have very vivid memories of the first time I was very young. I saw the giant mountain of trash being plowed around by massive bulldozers that was called the landfill. It was no longer a landfill. It was a massive mountain. This is in Ontario, California. And I was perplexed that adults could engage in such an activity, that this is what we did with our unwanted throwaway societal goods. We just built mountains of trash out of it. And I wondered how long could that possibly continue. And I've wondered about it ever since. Just the throwaway mentality of our society should be enough to make us realize that we could never have continued on this course. And as the climate system and the biosphere implosion continues to accelerate, the geoengineers, the weather makers, are going for broke with even more extreme weather warfare assaults on the entire planet. And the radical weather whiplash scenarios will continue to increase in direct proportion to rapidly accelerating biosphere and climate implosion. You can't separate those scenarios. The ozone layer destruction is also rapidly worsening, which is allowing extreme levels of UV radiation to bombard the entire planet. On next week's program, I'll try to give an updated diary report on the UV danger from the former NASA engineer that's working directly with geoengineeringwatch.org. As I've stated on previous programs, his former reports made clear on the current trajectory with the current level of destruction happening to the ozone layer, which is most directly linked to geoengineering activities in our skies, we face total ozone collapse within 8 years. If that happens, that's the end of the road for terrestrial life on our planet. Consider that. I'll try to give an updated report next week. In the meantime, again, if the sun feels like it's much more intense on your skin, on surfaces, this is due to the Earth's now decimated ozone layer. It's not your imagination. It's real. The UV intensity is real. Consider that. Geoengineering is fueling all the threats that I just covered. In regard to climate engineering and weather warfare, a report I gave last week, I would encourage anybody who hasn't seen it to look at it. It's under the recent and top story section on geoengineeringwatch.org. The Trump and Canada dispute over tariffs and taxes that has just recently come to a head. Is there any connection between that and the record flooding now slaughtering parts of Canada? Was that payback? And if you look at the animations I recorded about the incredibly anomalous flow of moisture that came straight out of the Caribbean, flowed in a straight line all the way northeast toward Canada, and then made an abrupt left westerly turn straight into Canada and inundated them with record flooding. This is a completely unnatural scenario meteorologically, and we simply have the data to know that these flows of moisture are being radically manipulated with radio frequency transmissions and atmospheric seeding with electrically conductive atmospheric aerosols. We have the data, we have the patents, we have the information to back this up. This is real. Weather warfare is real and a matter of historical fact. Not asking anyone to believe me. I'm asking you to do some legitimate investigation and try to get your arms around what you've been convinced isn't real. It is real. Don't stick to the CIA program conspiracy theory narrative. Use your sense of reason and logic. Another headline, Hanford, Washington nuclear site catastrophe. Not much mainstream reporting on that one, is there? Mainstream media is very good at omitting anything they don't want us to hear. There's always some other drama, some false flag event, some kind of political theater to distract us from the fact that we have cataclysms occurring all around us, from Fukushima to the nuclear site in Hanford that just had a major leak there, a major disaster, a tunnel cave in. If you haven't heard about this and you watch mainstream media, start to ask questions about what else you don't know. Investigate that issue. Here's another headline that mainstream media is not reporting on. Here's the headline, quote unquote, decades of data on world's oceans reveal very alarming oxygen decline. Obviously, if the oceans become hypoxic or anoxic, low oxygen or no oxygen, everything dies. And everything is dying. And it's happening right now. And if the oceans die, we die. I've said it over and over from that report. A new analysis of decades of data on oceans across the globe has revealed that the amount of dissolved oxygen contained in the water, an important measure of ocean health. Obviously, do we need scientists to tell us that we need oxygen in the oceans? But they seem to need to tell us this. Has been declining for more than 20 years. We've said this over and over on Geoengineering Watch. Finally getting some sort of higher level coverage, not mainstream media, certainly. Report continues, falling oxygen levels in the water have the potential to impact the habitat of marine organisms worldwide. Again, a very elemental and ridiculous statement. Obviously, we know that. And in recent years have led to more frequent hypoxic events, what I just mentioned earlier, that have killed or displaced countless populations of fish, crabs, and many other organisms. Report continues, researchers have for years anticipated that rising temperatures would affect the amount of oxygen in the ocean, since warmer water is not capable of holding as much oxygen as colder water. But the data showed that oxygen was falling more rapidly than the corresponding rise in water temperatures. I spoke about that in previous shows. We have thawing methane on the seafloor, hydrogen sulfide. They migrate through the water column to the surface. That helps deoxygenate also. There's many other factors. There's algae blooms occurring. We have geoengineering, another form of geoengineering, ocean iron fertilization, which is part of the ongoing geoengineering insanity. And that also decreases oxygen in the oceans. Countless factors here, all of them extremely dire. The trend of oxygen falling is about 200 to 300% faster than what was predicted from the decrease of solubility associated with the warming ocean, the study author said. This is most likely due to the changes in ocean circulation and mixing associated with the heating of the near surface waters and melting of polar ice. Geoengineering affecting all of those factors as well. And why is this so important? Why do I keep covering environmental issues? Because if we don't have habitat, we're done. We're absolutely done. And Earth's life support systems are being torn apart. And there are countless anthropogenic factors doing that. But the single greatest factor mathematically, those roads lead so many times right back to climate engineering. We talk about, this study talks about altered ocean currents. Geoengineering is altering wind patterns, which alters ocean patterns, period. Geoengineering is destroying the ozone layer, which is destroying plankton, which is decreasing our atmospheric oxygen. Plankton produces 50 to 60% of atmospheric oxygen. Everything causes a chain reaction, a feedback loop. Everything starts to feed on itself as we destroy the natural equilibrium that was once here. Final statements from this report. The majority of oxygen in the ocean is absorbed from the atmosphere at the surface or created by photosynthesizing phytoplankton. I just mentioned that. Ocean currents then mix that more highly oxygenated water with the subsurface water, but rising ocean water temperatures near the surface have made it more buoyant and harder for the water surface waters to mix downward with the cooler subsurface waters. Melting polar ice has added more fresh water to the ocean surface, another factor that hampers the natural mixing, which leads to increased ocean stratification. Stratification, it's layering, not mixing. A stratified ocean is a dead ocean. This is called Canfield Ocean. Final statements from the report. After the mid-2000s, this trend became apparent, consistent, and statistically alarming. We're there. Our problems are not off on the horizon. We're there. It's kicking in the door right now. We don't have time to delay facing these issues while people are going about their life as if nothing's wrong, grabbing their six-pack and watching their football game. The house is burning down around us. Another headline. Carbon pollution is suffocating ocean life and speeding up the next mass extinction. First, what's wrong with that headline? The next mass extinction is not coming. It's here. We are in Earth's sixth great mass extinction now. We're losing 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect every single day to extinction. And for those who say that have been programmed by the power structure, that's all normal, part of a cycle. It's not part of a cycle. That's statistically 15,000 times more than background rates. That's 1.5% of normal. Anything normal about that? No. And for those who rant over and over, and they must be getting paid by the fossil fuel industrial complex. If they're not, they should be getting paid. Those who falsely state the more carbon, the better. Those people have absolutely no clue, or they're lying. Take your pick. Tell the ocean that the more carbon, the better. Excess carbon saturation is killing the oceans. From this report, depletion of dissolved oxygen in our oceans, which can cause dead zones, is causing dead zones, is occurring much faster than expected, a new study finds. What have I said over and over and over? Let's go back to Al Gore and those who hate Al Gore and thus take the opposite position of everything Al Gore says. I've stated over and over for the last decade plus, yes, Al Gore was wrong, but not in the direction of what most people have chosen to believe, because they didn't want to believe reality. Al Gore's data was and is wrong from his first movie in the opposite direction. It's much, much worse than anything Al Gore said, and all these reports bear that out. All these reports that state that these converging catastrophes are occurring much faster than expected or predicted. That's what's happening. Report continues. By combining oxygen loss with ever-worsening ocean warming and acidification from excess CO2, humans are recreating the conditions that led to the worst ever extinction on our planet, which killed over 90% of marine life. Continuing from this report, a recent study also found that there is no techno fix to prevent a catastrophic collapse of ocean life that would last for centuries, if not millennia, if we continue current CO2 emission trends through 2050. Some falsities with the report here again. One, on the current course of action, none of us will reach 2050. Mathematically speaking, on the current course, none of us will reach 2030. Based on the best frontline data available right now, our situation could not be more nonlinear. So even these reports that sound dire to some, that sound alarmist to some, in fact, are far conservative in compared to the true reality we actually face. And when they cite only CO2 emissions, of course, none of these reports cite climate engineering, which is destroying the ozone layer, disrupting hydrological cycle, poisoning our forests, and decimating our planet from the clouds to the ground. They don't mention that. They're not allowed to mention that. But they also don't mention methane. And as climate engineering has altered upper-level wind currents, which has altered ocean currents, which is now pushing warm water into the Arctic, thawing formerly frozen methane deposits on the seafloor, releasing already massive amounts of methane into the atmosphere. And methane, again, over a 10-year time horizon, from 100 to 120 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas. Methane is the final linchpin in our collective coffin. If this trend continues, mathematically speaking, there's enough methane, it is believed, based on the best available studies, in the Arctic alone, enough methane in the Laptev Sea to cause a Permian-style mass extinction, like the type of extinction I just mentioned, which killed over 90% of marine life and 70%+ of terrestrial life. There's enough methane in the Arctic to create that type of extinction 100 times over. There's enough methane there to turn the planet into Venus in that deposit alone. And it's been triggered. The human race and human activity, anthropogenic activity, is absolutely mathematically certain to have been the trigger for what's happening on our planet right now. And those who think otherwise are not thinking logically. What are the mathematical odds? And statisticians have already done this equation, by the way. What are the mathematical odds of all these changes happening in our climate and our biosphere happening in perfect lockstep with human activity at this exact time? What are the odds of that not being connected to human activity? Zero. Statistically zero, and the studies have been done to prove that. So if you're clinging to this notion that the human race could continue to live the loot, plunder, and pillage paradigm indefinitely without consequence, you're living in a delusion. Time to wake up and help us salvage what's left, or soon we'll all be gone. More headlines. Massive fish die-off in Trinidad and Tobago. This is all new from the last week. Another headline. Tons of fish dead on Kuwait beaches. It's happening all over the globe. I could go on and on with these types of headlines. I'm giving just a small example. It's happening all over the planet. Oceans are dying by the day. Here's one more. Hundreds of leopard sharks dying in San Francisco Bay. From that report, biologists are trying to figure out why hundreds of leopard sharks are dying in the San Francisco Bay this year. Researchers tell the San Francisco Chronicle that huge numbers of dead sharks have been found recently along the shorelines of the California coast. They don't know what's causing it. Academia has totally failed society, so much in the environmental academia especially, and medical, and it could go on and on there too, but they never seem to know what's causing anything because they're paid not to know. How do you get an academician to tell the truth when their paycheck and pension depends on them not telling the truth? And that's the equation we have. So even though I've just gone over all these factors that directly affect what's killing the marine life, and many people want to blame Fukushima exclusively, that's wrong. Fukushima is a massive problem, no doubt. It may be an extinction event all by itself if other factors don't do the job first. But radiation does not kill at that distance with this sort of speed. This is other factors. This is ocean deoxygenization, hypoxic and anoxic zones in the ocean, many causes, as I've just gone over in considerable detail. So we have converging catastrophes. Fukushima is only one of those catastrophes. One more headline along this lines. Another big fish die off in Florida Lake. Algae blooms are increasing on an extremely alarming scale in North America. This is absolute fact. On my own property in Northern California, I have a stream that used to contain trout on my own property, and that stream originates on my own property. There is nothing upstream. Those trout are now gone. That water is far too warm, and now there's very anomalous-looking algae growths that are occurring right now. In fact, I've never seen those growths before late July. They're already there this year. There's nothing left in that stream. Last year, in the arm of Shasta Lake, the Pitt River arm in which that stream flows into, was, for the first time ever, shut down. Or a warning went out, a public warning, to stay out of that water because of the toxic algae bloom happening there. This is happening all over the globe. Fish die-offs are happening all over the globe, certainly all over our country. From the BBC, and here's one of the ways that the power structure and mainstream media tries to hide what's really happening with some other story that makes people falsely believe that there's some other factor affecting all this die-off. It's not human activity. It's not everything I've just gone over. Here's from the BBC. There are diseases hidden in ice, and they're waking up. From that report, throughout history, humans have existed side by side with bacteria and viruses, from the bubonic plague, smallpox, and so on. We have evolved to resist them, and in response, they have developed new ways of infecting us. We've had antibiotics for almost a century, and in response, bacteria have evolved antibiotic resistance. The battle is endless. Because we spend so much time with pathogens, we sometimes develop a kind of natural stalemate. However, what would happen if we were suddenly exposed to deadly bacteria and viruses that have been absent for thousands of years, or that we have never met before? We may be about to find out. Climate change is melting permafrost soils that have been frozen for thousands of years, and as the soils melt, they are releasing ancient viruses and bacteria that have laid dormant for millions of years and are now springing back to life. Now, let's look at this a little more closely. Is this not an excuse for the biological warfare that we know is going on, for the engineered pathogens that we know are being experimented with by our own military and other militaries around the globe? In 2000, there was approximately 40 labs in the U.S. experimenting with pathogens. Now, there's several hundred. They're doing something. Does this not provide cover for them? That this just magically came from nature somehow and is not to do with some sort of nefarious experimentation or release from these biolabs that are responsible for so much carnage. Let's remember geoengineer Ken Caldera. Look him up. Ken Caldera, who I published an audio of Ken Caldera while he worked for our government at Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, talking about his job being to find ways of seeding the clouds with pathogens to infect the population below. He stated this on the record. You can hear him say it with his own voice. So when we have the BBC publishing an article like that, which I just read, blaming such things on only a thawing permafrost, and certainly the permafrost is thawing, the planet is thawing radically and rapidly, but to blame these new pathogens on that is to simply provide cover for the military-industrial complex and what they're really doing, and to remind everyone again of why I focus so emphatically on what's happening in our skies, because We can't hold our breath. We have to breathe. And we are completely vulnerable to what's being sprayed above our heads every single day. And what we already know is in that mix is incredibly lethal. Toxic heavy metals proven by countless lab tests from all over the globe, 70 plus in Shasta, Siskiyou County alone. Metals like aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, metals that are all highly toxic in and of themselves. But when mixed together, when combined, toxicity can increase some 10,000%. These particles in the atmosphere also cause fungal proliferation. We have massive epidemic levels of upper and lower respiratory infections now that are fungally related. Our immune systems are weakened from these metals. And when you combine these metals, again, toxicity can increase as much as 10,000%. That's 100 times worse than these metals are in and of themselves. And this is happening. This is not speculation. It's not theory. It's not conjecture. And on top of that, at any point in time of the power structure's choosing, they can change that mix, add something more lethal, and it's game over for all of us. And if anyone thinks that those in power would not resort to this, you're not living in reality. This is business as usual for them, especially when they're backed into a corner, and they are now backed into a corner, certainly. So learn to look through stories like this from the BBC that want to blame such things solely on nature when there is likely much, much more involved. In regard to my focus again on the climate engineering issue, the single most destructive endeavor ever undertaken by the human race, and the greatest threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm, and a threat that is directly related to the geopolitical issues, which I try to weave into this equation every week so that people understand when the power structure is pushing for global conflict, it's directly related to what's happening in the environment, to natural resources, to what it takes to keep the military-industrial juggernaut of total insanity moving forward until the last moment, at which time everything collapses, as has been the case with all previous empires. Another headline, climate migration continues to grow and reshape the world. How can it not happen? When people don't have enough to eat where they're at, they're going to go somewhere else. From that report, get used to hearing the terms climate migrant or environmental migrant, as each have become increasingly common across new headlines. We constantly hear or read about entire populations having to move from the places they inhabited all their lives to other locations, mainly due to climate change. This climate migration phenomenon is having a tremendous social and political impact in many countries around the world, and unfortunately, more is on the way. Again, no mention of climate engineering and the single greatest causal factor for drought, which is a primary factor in many of these societies having to uproot, is climate engineering. You cannot have less rain on a warming planet. You cannot have an increase in protracted drought and a decrease in atmospheric relative humidity without climate engineering. Can't happen. The laws of physics say so. So yes, there are massive deluges occurring, and that will increase also. As the planet warms, it carries more moisture in the atmosphere, 7% more for every degree C of warming. So you will have more deluges as well. But climate engineering is causing much more protracted drought because the particles in the atmosphere and the manipulation of the climate is directly linked to this. The data is there to back this up. So when we have articles like this that do not mention the climate engineering issue, they are deceitful by that omission. And this is the case across the board with mainstream sources. Another headline. This is a new and massive, very comprehensive article from Rolling Stone magazine. Would encourage anyone, everyone, to look this up and read it. It's titled The Doomsday Glacier. From that report, this is brand new from Rolling Stone. In the farthest reaches of Antarctica, a nightmare scenario of crumbling ice and rapidly rising seas is unfolding, which could spell disaster for a warming planet. Very comprehensive report. And this is another factor the power structure is trying to hide. This is another element of climate engineering to try to divide and confuse the population as to the true state of the climate by creating engineered cool downs. And I've already talked about in previous programs the recent study that proves industrialized, militarized nations are not warming as fast as poor nations. Statistically, climate engineering is a major factor there. How can you possibly have poor nations warming faster than wealthy, industrialized, militarized nations? You can't without climate engineering. Another headline, Cyclone Donna breaks Southern Hemisphere storm record. Cyclone Donna has grown to become the strongest May cyclone ever recorded in the Southern Hemisphere at a Category 5, the strongest category. Warming oceans, more cyclones, except where they're being suppressed, which is causing ocean stratification, as I mentioned earlier, deoxygenization. This is the consequences from climate engineering. Cyclones are being suppressed from hitting the U.S. coast in spite of massively warm oceans. 11-year, going on 12-year, major hurricane impact drought in the U.S. That's not a coincidence. That's climate engineering. The patents exist for hurricane suppression to prove that. And think about it mathematically. What are the odds that the rest of the world is being slaughtered with record cyclones, and yet the U.S., for almost 12 years, nothing. No major impacts. Major damage, but no major hurricanes. That's important to understand. No major hurricane impacts have happened to the U.S. for almost 12 years. Another headline, and I want to weave this into what I've already covered. Military and security leaders call on Tillerson and Mattis to lead together on climate change. Why? Because the U.S. military has acknowledged again and again and again the greatest national security threat of all is the disintegrating climate, for all the reasons I've just mentioned. So if you're one who believes our military, our government would never do this, you're living in a complete delusion. Why would the military, when they state on the record, this is the greatest threat we face, do we think, when we know they've had this technology for 70 years, do we really think they're going to sit around and ask our permission to use this technology, even though this technology is making the situation far worse overall, not better? That's their mentality. Did nuclear weapons really make the planet safer for humanity? Has nuclear power made the planet safer for humanity? Is weather modification, climate engineering making the planet safer for humanity? The answer in all cases is a resounding no. So what does the current administration do to try to hide what's happening to the biosphere, the biosphere implosion? Here's a headline. EPA just scrubbed even more mentions of climate from its website. Just sweep it under the rug. That's what the power structure does. And the public, for the most part, is unfortunately all too happy to have that happen. Another headline, Trump's EPA dismisses half the scientists on its advisory board. It's happening in Australia, happening in Canada, happening here. Fire the scientists. So in spite of what some people have falsely chosen to believe because of the fossil fuel-funded false narrative, that climate scientists get more pay if they give a more alarmist report. That is absolutely and totally false. And they're firing scientists for trying to tell the truth. And certainly none of them are about to tell the truth about climate engineering, because that would cost much more than their paycheck or pension. It would likely cost their lives. As we lost three climate scientists that were the type to maybe speak out in 2015, and we had the world's top Arctic scientist, Peter Wedham, stayed on the record. He thought they were taken out, and he recanted 2 weeks later when he was probably threatened. I just want to remind people of that story. Here's another one, a new headline from the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Here's the headline, where have all the bugs gone? This is critical. Their studies now cite an 80% decline of insects in many cases. Geoengineeringwatch.org has long since cited a 90% decline in terrestrial and aquatic insects from Northern California. And this data was from Northern California, from a courageous U.S. Forest Service biologist with an extremely long list of credentials that has worked extensively with geoengineeringwatch.org. That biologist's name is Francis Mangles. If the bugs die, we die. And this former U.S. Forest Service biologist, again, Francis Mangles, has had the courage to openly and consistently speak out about the ongoing climate engineering insanity. Unfortunately, the vast majority of academicians have not shown any such courage. The sad truth is this. The vast majority of environmental academicians have completely betrayed the human race and the entire web of life by their silence, their denial, and their deception in regard to the global climate engineering programs. This is absolutely inexcusable. Climate scientist Guy McPherson is a case in point. Guy McPherson is accusing environmentalists like Bill McGibbon and Michael Mann. I have no love for Bill McGibbon. He's funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. And he also will not address climate engineering, but neither will Guy McPherson. And I know this firsthand from face-to-face meetings with Guy McPherson. And he is pushing a message that is likely driving some to suicide. I'll get to that message in a moment. But when McPherson criticizes environmentalists like McGibbon and Michael Mann for not telling the whole truth about the climate, I would say to Mr. McPherson, take a good long look in the mirror. How much longer will you, Mr. McPherson, continue to lie about the ongoing global geoengineering assault on our planet? And your arrogant, narcissistic attitude that you are somehow an oracle of truth, while you continue to lie and deny the critical climate engineering issue, is inexcusable. If you don't like me exposing you for your deception on the geoengineering issue, then sue me. Climate scientist Guy McPherson is the epitome of hypocrisy in academia. He arrogantly instructs us all, listen to this, because this is Mr. McPherson's message, he instructs us all to just lay down and die, because there's no option left for us to try and salvage what's yet left of our planet's life support systems. But Mr. McPherson is not telling the whole truth. His total omission of the climate engineering assault on our planet, and what would happen if it was stopped, is an inexcusable form of lying. Again, Mr. McPherson, if you don't like being confronted with this truth, sue me. In the last face-to-face meeting I had with Mr. McPherson, he behaved in an extremely psychotic manner. His emphatic denial of the climate engineering solar radiation issue was beyond bizarre, and I believe that he believed I was wearing a microphone and was recording him, and perhaps his denial is because he has been threatened by the power structure if he tells the whole truth. But whatever the reason, there's no excuse for his half-truth message to the world that completely omits the ongoing global climate engineering assault and the decimation it's inflicting on the planet. So when Mr. McPherson tells us all that we should just get our affairs in order because we're all going to die and nothing has any chance of changing that outcome, you are not telling the whole truth, Mr. McPherson. You're omitting a massive part of the equation that could have an immense positive impact if it is stopped, and that's climate engineering. So, Mr. McPherson, I would say to you, I hope you decide at some point to tell the whole truth, not a half-truth. When we look at what's coming, as the biosphere implosion again continues to accelerate, the power structure will be and is more dangerous than ever before. We know this. So we see them putting their chess pieces in place. We should ask why Mr. Trump was meeting Kissinger in the Oval Office. And we all know, anybody who's done any research at all knows exactly how nefarious an individual Henry Kissinger is. We have this headline from Anonymous. Anonymous issues ominous. Try to put those two words together. Anonymous issues ominous World War III warning. The citizens will be the last to know. This is obviously the case. For those who think that they will see warnings of such cataclysm coming months or years away, you're wrong. It will come like a tornado in the night. Biosphere implosion and the power structure playing some very lethal cards will come with no warning. And we are perilously close to such a scenario. I don't pretend to know the day or the hour. I want to finish this report from Anonymous. All the signs of a looming war, this is directly from Anonymous, on the Korean Peninsula are surfacing. We're watching as each country moves strategic pieces into place. But unlike past world wars, although there will be ground troops, the battle is likely to be fierce, brutal, and quick. It will also be globally devastating to the environment. The Anonymous report continues. This is a real war with real global consequences, with three superpowers drawn into the mix. Other nations will be coerced into choosing sides. The citizens will be the last to know. That's the final quote from Anonymous. Let's continue on to North Korea. Here's a headline, also from last week. Why do North Koreans hate us? One reason, they remember the Korean War, unlike Americans who do not remember what our country has done around the globe. And this is not an advocation of the current regime there. Not at all. That ruler is clearly not behaving sanely. But that doesn't excuse what our country is doing and what our country has done. From this report, the forgotten war. Yes, the Korean War. Remember that. The one wedged between World War II and the Vietnam War. The first hot war of the Cold War, which took place between 1950 and 1953, and which has since been conveniently airbrushed from most discussions and debates about the crazy and insane regime in Pyongyang. forgotten, despite the fact that this particular war isn't even over. It was halted by an armistice agreement, not a peace treaty. And despite the fact that the conflict saw the United States engage in numerous war crimes, which perhaps unsurprisingly continue to shape the way North Koreans view the United States, even if the residents of the United States remain blissfully ignorant of their country's belligerent past. What hardly any Americans know or remember is this. We carpet bombed North Korea for 3 years with next to no concern for civilian casualties. For example, how many Americans are aware of the fact that during the Korean War, the U.S. dropped exponentially more munitions on Korea than they did in the entire Pacific campaign against the Japanese? How much more? 635,000 tons more bombs. 32,557 tons more napalm than all the bombs and napalm dropped on Japan during World War II. How many Americans know that over a period of 3 years, to quote Air Force General Curtis LeMay, head of the Strategic Air Command during the Korean War, who said this, "We killed off 20% of the population." Was he proud of that? I'm speaking about largely civilian casualties, and so many Americans have no clue the price that's being paid around the planet for these interventions, so many of which were triggered by false flag events, just like Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin event, historical fact, false flag event staged by our own government, causing nearly 60,000 of our own sons and daughters in the military to be killed needlessly, countless civilians in Vietnam to be killed, in Laos, still dying there today because of the poisons dropped by the U.S. military and the companies that are part of the U.S. military industrial complex. How long will this carnage go on, and how long will the American public ram their head in the sand and buy the brand new propaganda that's being fed to them right now that's pushing toward global conflict because the environment is imploding, because we can't live this way on a planet with finite resources and a finite amount of room? We can't do it. 20% of the Korean population, for a point of comparison, the Nazis exterminated 20% of Poland's pre-World War II population. This is genocide in countries occurring, and this is what happened in Korea, and why wouldn't they remember that? Don't we think Americans would remember if they experienced this kind of carnage from a foreign government, whatever the cause? We would absolutely remember. So yes, Korea has a very apparently irrational leader, no question about that. But the population is simply a prisoner of that leader, just like the U.S. population right now is going along with whatever their leaders dictate, not questioning, not standing up, not protesting, but for the most part just going along, from the spraying that's occurring over their heads to the toxic vaccinations that are injected into their bodies and their children's bodies, just going along. Don't question the official narrative, lest you be called, God forbid, a conspiracy theorist if you question the official narrative, while the house burns down around us all. What is the greatest threat to the human race? A psychopathic power structure that's completely out of control, or the sleeping masses that have allowed and even facilitated the power structure juggernaut of insanity to perpetuate like a cancer throughout our society and throughout the world? Who should bear the most blame? The power structure or the sleeping masses that have so far refused to wake up, face reality, and do their individual part to alter the current course of certain near-term planetary omnicide? We've destroyed our planet in the blink of an eye, in a geological millisecond. I've given a time frame comparison of our planet's history in the past. I want to give that again to drive this point home, how quickly we have decimated our planet. If Earth's 450 billion year history was overlaid on the time scale of a week, each day would represent about 660 million years. We have done what we have done to the planet in 1/40th of a second before midnight on the last day. If each day, using a one-week time frame, represented 660 million years, we've done the damage we've done in 1/40th of a second before midnight on the last day. How long do people rationally think this course could continue? If the current course is not completely and immediately altered, the demise of the human race, and indeed life on Earth, will ensue. And collectively, we have the power to alter the equation. Collectively, we have the power to make a difference. Will we stand up and embrace this power, or will our race sit by apathetically and allow our fate to be carved in stone? What will you do for the greater good today? Make your voice heard. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.